that folks will know that the doors are truly open. I'm actually turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 27. Matthew 7, verses 13 through 27. And when you then want to ask that you stand with me as we read it again. Matthew 7, 13, 27, it says, Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Where a false prophet would come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 18, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, 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 Lord. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew it, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And we're at blessed in the reading and hearing the words of the Lord. Eternal Father God, we thank you. Father, after the song of the Son and the word of God, let's go forth, Father God, the master to a church, O Lord. Remove anything within that should not be. Father God, I come to confess that we all have fallen short by word, by thought, by deed. Thank you, Father God, that you have more forgiveness in you than we have sinned in us, Heavenly Father. Father God, we come praying to soften our hearts so we're able to receive the word of God. Unstop our ears so we may hear the word of God. And most of all, give us open our minds so we're able to process and reveal the word, Father. That may leave in a better condition when we arrive, because we truly heard the word from on high this morning. It's in Jesus' name, our church. Amen. 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 Looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. And I'd like you to sort of thought this morning, either or, amen, often we face either or decisions as we move through life. A moment of decision when there is but two choices to make. A lot of folks shrink from those decisive moments, but they come nonetheless. Some people have an either my way or the highway mentality. They're so narrow-minded that you're either right or wrong in their humble opinion. The spiritual realm is no different. In this passage, Jesus offers us no less than three either-or situations. In these areas, there is no compromise. You will either be one way or the other. There is no middle ground. We do not like to be forced to make decisions. We want to approach them and then decide about them in our own way, in our own time. Sadly, in these three areas that I want to point out this morning, you have already made your decision. Now you may have the opportunity to change that decision, but it has been made nonetheless. Allow me to point out these three either-or situations that Jesus described in these verses. Let me encourage you this morning to listen to the Word of God, look deeply into your own heart,
and do whatever you have to do to ensure that you'll end up on the Lord's side of each of these issues. I want to present each of these either-or situations along with a life principle. Amen? Let's allow the Lord to speak our hearts this morning, because your eternal destiny hinges on your being found on the same side of Jesus in these either-or situations. Point number one, either-or of your footsteps. And the life principle is that the road you travel always determines your destination. Look at verses 13 through 15. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now look at the verses. One path is described as being wide in verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. This is a path that is easy to navigate with plenty of room, doesn't it? But look at this. The other side is described as being narrow. Look at verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few. Where one verse talks about many will find it, this verse says, there be few, there be that find it. This means of it being more constricted with far less room. The broad path leads to destruction, which is hell. The narrow path leads to life, which is heaven. There are but two destinations for the soul of man. Every person in this church today will either go to heaven or hell, and you can't miss both. Right now, so far.
Amen.
Heaven or hell, you can't miss both. Now, it's another one of those either-or situations. The broad path is accessed through a broad gate, as you see. In fact, everyone in this church was on a broad path when you came into this world. To continue on this broad path and this path of destruction requires that you do nothing. Amen. You are born into this world, headed in that direction, and since it's a broad way, you can carry all the baggage that you want with you. Amen. There's plenty of room for you and for all of your sins. And on the other hand, the narrow path is accessed through, the Bible says, a narrow gate. There's only one way to get on that path, and that path,
beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's
clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Yeah. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Watch this thing. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Watch this now. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
My hope so far? Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Verse 20. Whereby their fruits you shall know them.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus says there are two kinds of fruit that can be produced, good and bad. Verse 17, for even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Good fruit is that which pleases the Lord and that which glorifies him before a lost and dying world. Right about it so far. Amen. It is fruit that is produced as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. It's nothing that you do, it's God working through you.
Amen.
Bad fruit is that which is produced by man naturally. It is the works of his flesh. It is evil and is offensive to God. Jesus says that the nature of the fruit is determined by the nature of the tree.
Well.
See that so far? And an apple tree, you understand, an apple tree yields apples. Right? An orange tree yields oranges. The only way to change the nature of the fruit is you got to change the nature of the tree.
Well,
right about so far.
Amen.
According to Jesus, the fruit your life yields says a lot about your life.
Yes.
Look at verse 16. You shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You see that so far? If you are producing good fruit, things spiritually acceptable in the sight of the Lord, then you have a good tree. However, if you consistently produce bad fruit, then your tree is bad as well. Understand me, whatever you plant and nurture in your life will grow.
Yes, yes.
You plant and nurture the word of God, then God will grow in your life. You plant and nurture and feed the world will grow in your life. Right about it so far.
Well,
now, I understand this, but I'll be the first to admit, I realize that you cannot always tell the quality of the fruit by the outward appearance.
Mm-hmm.
However, as a general rule, is it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck. A life that consistently exhibits the fruit of the Spirit is a life that's producing good spiritual fruit. Good fruit suggests a good tree.
Amen.
Neither can duplicate the other for very long. The nature of the tree will always come out in the fruit that it produces.
Amen. Amen.
The good tree draws its life from Jesus, and as a result, it produces a life like his.
Well.
The bad tree, on the other hand, the bad tree draws its life from the world, and as a result, it produces a life like that of the world.
Mm.
Watch this now. Amen. Understand this morning. A spiritual person is not carnal all the time, and a carnal person is not spiritual any other time, and there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. With me so far.
Amen. Amen.
Watch this. Point number three. Amen. Point number three. The either or of your finality. It was the principle. The life principle is how you start always determines how you finish. Look at verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Yes.
Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Jesus tells us about two houses, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 24, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. No doubt outwardly, these two houses look alike.
Mm-hmm.
My God, watch me more this morning. These two houses look alike. They had even been made of the same materials. Oh, more somewhere this morning. They've been made of the same materials. The only difference in the two was the kind of foundation each house rested upon.
Yes, yes. Come on now.
One was built upon the sand, while the other was built upon the rock.
Come on.
Each house was subjected to the same kind of abuse.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
A storm came, the Bible says.
Yes.
In verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock.
Yes, yes.
Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. My God. Rain fell, winds blew, and savage floods wrapped themselves around these houses. My God. One house fell in the storm, but when the storm was over, one house was still standing.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, yes.
Did you know that every person in this church this morning is a builder?
Yes.
Amen. Your life is like a house. It looks pretty much like all the other houses around it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Amen. It is made from the same materials. It is also attacked by the same variety of storms. The storms of sickness, the storms of sin, the storms of temptation, and storms bearing 10,000 other men all attack the house that you're building this morning.
Come on now.
My God, but some houses in this church are going to weather the storm, others are not.
Well.
Amen. Some builders here can be called wise, while some of the builders this morning, I'm sure, can be called foolish. Amen. Some houses will stand in the judgment, and others will fall away into hell. What makes the difference? The quality of the foundation upon which your house is being built this morning.
Yes, yes.
Amen. The foolish man took no time to plan or to think about his house.
Mm.
My God. He just built it where he was and left everything to chance.
Yes.
That's why I did that this morning.
Ah.
You're building this morning, but you're leaving too much to chance. Amen. Amen. He built his house, the Bible says, upon the sand. The other man took the time to dig into the soil, exposing what is known as the bedrock.
Yes.
Amen. Then he built his house when the storm came and it washed away the sand from the foolish man's house. The bedrock was never made. Ooh, but it's too strong.
Come on,
my
now.
God. How you start always determines how you finish. Amen. What are you building your house on this morning? It matters. Remember, it isn't about what you do. It's all about what Christ has done for you.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Remember the three principles that we have encountered in this passage. Amen. Number one, the road you travel always determines your destination.
Yes.
Number two, the nature of your tree always determines the nature of your fruit. And number three, how you start always determines how you finish. Now, with these three principles in your mind, watch these. With these three principles in your mind, watch this. Look at verses 21 to 23. I want the principles in your mind. Look at verses 21 to 23. I'm going to drop something away this morning. Watch this thing.
Come on.
Now, you said you're building this morning, right? You're building. Watch these verses here. I'm going to drop something on you. And I said, your house has to be able to withstand the blast of judgment. Some houses will stand, and some will fall away into hell. Watch this thing. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. My God, watch this thing. many will say unto me in that day. Now remember, we went through back the other verses and said, broad is the way and many will find it. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He says here, many will say to me in that day, Lord. He's talking to church folk here. Because who else does the prophesying but church folk? He says, have we not prophesied in thy name? Then he says, have we not cast out devils in your name? And then you got another group that says, and in thy name, have we not done many wonderful works? Your Bible says, is not a work lest any man should boast.
Amen.
But look at this thing. He says, and many will say to me in that day, what's that day? In the day of judgment. Many will say to me in that day of judgment, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. And he says in verse 23, then I will say unto them, he doesn't say, I knew you and forgot who you were. He says, I will profess to them, I never knew you. You got to make sure that you know Jesus Christ for yourself. It's not enough just to know about him. You got to know that you know that you know Christ. Amen. So I ask you again, what kind of house are you building this morning? Are you building your house, the Psalm says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand? Is your house standing this morning, or is your house sinking on sinking sand this morning? Because it matters. These verses tell us of some false people who will stand before the Lord at the great white throne. Amen. The person ought to have a profession of faith. But these people have a false profession. You got to be sure that you're in that number. Be sure that you're in that number. Why? Because it matters. It matters. And we cannot go by how the houses look on the outside. It's about how the houses are on the inside. Amen. Do not build your salvation around religion. Amen. Build it around a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not around religion, but around relationship. That's what God wants. He wants a relationship with you. We got too many folks following religion. What's religion? Traditions of the church.
Amen.
He doesn't want you wrapped in tradition. He wants you wrapped in his love. He wants you wrapped in his deliverance. He wants you wrapped in his salvation. And he's called us to write this morning. He saw unstopping ears. He softened your heart. He's opened your mind. Do not leave the same way in which you came in. But you need to really be sure that you are saved by God's grace this morning. And when you have three folks come down in the church, let's bring the number down to two. You have two folk come down in the church, and they both look like candidates for salvation. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. Why? Good question, I'll tell you why. You got two folks that come down to be saved. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. Why? Because one was just sorry about facing the consequences. The other one was godly sorry to repentance. Do you follow me? Godly repentance requires a direction change. You got to stop going down and start looking up.
Amen.
Just being sorry requires no direction change. You just are sorry. A lot of it was on a number. A lot of folks came to Christ not because they wanted their lives changed, but because they didn't like the prospects of burning in hell.
Amen.
Right about it. So I don't want to die and go to hell, so I'll just accept Christ. But to know Christ is to follow Christ and to live for Christ. How can you, for those who know about electricity, amen, when you really grab onto Jesus, it's like grabbing onto a 10,000 volt electrical wire. If you grab a hot wire, you know about electricity, you grab a hot wire, something will happen.
Yes.
Right about it. Especially a 10,000 volt wire. You can't let go of that wire. Somebody got to knock you off. That's how it is in Christ. When you really grab onto Christ, you can't just let go. Somebody got to try to knock you off of Christ. And if I already tried, if they try to hang on to you long enough, they're going to start getting shot. Oh, wow.
Amen.
This way, I'll be careful with the folks you hang around with, even in the church. Because everybody that cries, Lord, Lord, as we sing, ain't going to heaven.
Amen.
Everybody that say they're saved ain't Because the Bible said, what's it say? The broad way. And we said, be many that will find that broad way to destruction. But the narrow way, there be few that go therein.